Back to order. Representative Grusendorf.
Mr. Speaker, I was not seeking the floor.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I was trying to get word to the caucus chairman, but upon a motion to recess, there will be a very short Democrat minority caucus in the in my office here on the second floor. We'll try to keep it no more than 15 or 20 minutes if we can.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House recess to the call of the chair.
Is there objection? Without objection, the House is recessed to the call of the chair. House, please come to order. Before the recess, my recollection is that Representative Halford had moved that we accept the committee substitute, and there was objection, I believe, or at least there was a request for an at ease. But the motion before the body is the adoption of the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, Finance Amended. Is there objection? Representative Halford.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. There is an amendment to the Finance CS on the clerk's desk. If she'd please read the amendment.
Would the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment to the amendment. Amendment to the amendment, which is the Finance House Committee substitute. Page 1, line 16, change 1981 to 1980.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment to the amendment.
There is objection. Is there debate? Question before the body is the acceptance of amendment number 1. Representative Meekins. House stand at ease. House, come back to order. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just point out that the amendment to the amendment brings the Finance Committee substitute for the Senate joint resolution to exactly the same position and exactly the same drafting as the House resolution that came out of Finance earlier.
Representative Meekins.
Speaking to the amendment to the amendment, Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure that I'm not sure that it's a good idea. I suppose it is if it's what we want to do, but it appears to me by the way I read this, we do have the option of defining in law what we mean by the statement that you can't appropriate more than that the amount appropriated in the general fund for 1980 it would be under this amendment, except that you could increase it by cumulative inflation and population growth. I guess what that would probably mean, since between 80 and 81, there was a very large increase, and between 81 and 82, there's going to be a very large increase, that we would have to very greatly reduce the budget next year and maybe for a couple of years. And that might be by a very large percentage, it appears to me, if the percentage increase this year is around probably 30%, maybe 25 or 30%, and the year before it was around 45 or so percent, and I don't think inflation and population growth was anywhere near that. In fact, I think population growth was negative during those 2 years, and inflation was around 10%, so you're probably talking about having to cut back 25% or so on the budget, and if you don't, you're in violation of the Constitution. I suppose that's okay, but of course this won't pass until 1982, so by then it might be even worse. I just wanted to know if that is the intent of the amendment or not.
Representative Barnes. House stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
House, come back to order. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, on the amendment to change the date to 1980 as the base year, is that the question before us? Mr. Speaker, on the amendment, and that I hope that you would allow me a certain amount of latitude. It's pretty hard to talk about the amendment without really discussing the whole resolution. Mr. Speaker, you probably heard me say, other members of this body have heard me do this litany time and time again. When I first came to the legislature, the amount of money available for appropriation was less than $40 million. Mr. Speaker, over the years that's grown, and I have a list of the years, the appropriation, 1960, $45 million. I'll skip on up to 1964, it was 79, 1968, 124, 71 is 292, so forth and so forth. Mr. Speaker, and when I first came to the legislature the first year, it was a situation where we had very little money and 1,000 needs. And we had spending proposals come before us, and not in the magnitude that we have today, but we still had requests from our constituents. And in those days, we had a simple answer, and that was, it's a good idea, my friend, but which taxes do you propose that we raise to provide the money? As the years have gone by, of course, we had the fortune or misfortune, as depending on how you view it, to have Prudhoe Bay and the bonanza that came along with the $900 million, and the whole ball game changed. We still had enough hangover from the days when we didn't have a lot of money that we were still able to spend more than we had before, but still show some restraint. And there was a great outcry from the public that we were spending it too fast, but the request for the appropriations came nonetheless. We finally reached the time that we had spent, in addition to the taxes that we were collecting, the $900 million, and we come up with a method to tide us over until the oil started to flow through the pipeline and the income began to increase. Mr. Speaker, this has gone on until the year 1980, as far as I'm concerned, was the ideal year for me as a legislator. It isn't easy to be in the legislature when people have needs and there's no money to provide it. Provide for those needs. Finally, with the fiscal year 1980, we thought reached the point that I thought was the ideal one from a legislator's standpoint, and that is that we had enough money to provide the funds to live in the manner that we had become accustomed to, but there was a limit. The next year, the income increased to the point that we no longer had the opportunity or the crutch to tell the people that it's a good idea, but we don't have the money, because we did have the money. I have a reputation, and I think properly earned, for being a fiscal conservative. I've never made any apologies for that. But I've always been sympathetic to the legislators that work, all of us that work under the conditions we have now, and that is that we have so much money, and the public is so well aware of it, that there is no excuse. No politician likes to tell a constituent it's a lousy idea, and we don't have the excuse anymore of saying that we don't have the money, because we do have. We have enough money, as far as the public's concerned, to provide the funds for every screwball idea that ever came down the pike. And that puts a pressure upon us as politicians, ordinary people who don't like the very nature of our business is to try to do good things for the home folks. And we're in a position now, and we have been for the past 2 years, that there's just no defense, there's no way that we can do it, and no longer can we expect just pure willpower of the people involved, the legislators involved, to provide what we need to get control of things. So the resolution that's before us, the constitutional amendment, I think is an ideal one if you base it on, uses a base year, an ideal year, which at least in my estimation, was the fiscal year 1980. Mr. Speaker, I've used this one before, and it's still a good one. In the time that I've been in the legislature, the population of the state has not quite doubled, but our income has increased 150-fold. You could discount some of that for inflation, that's true, but the fact remains that the situation that we're in right now as legislators, the thing is out of control. And I don't blame anybody in this House. I'm not trying to be self-righteous about it. But somehow or the other, for the good of our state and for the good of ourselves and the people that we represent, we have to have some kind of an umbrella that we can crawl under to protect ourselves from the demands that come in ever-increasing numbers. I like the resolution that's before us. I think the date is a good one because it does provide sufficient money, and it also, I think, if we look for a little farther ahead, we'll find that not too far down the line, we're going to reach the point that we don't have money in the amounts that we have today. And so I think it's proper that we should start disciplining ourselves and our constituents to the fact that sooner or later we've got to come back down to earth and live in the real world. And I think this amendment is a good step in that direction if we use this as a base year and if we come up with a good resolution. I'm going to vote for it all the way, but until I have some assurance that we're going to have a good resolution, I will not foist upon the public a bad one. I would urge that we adopt the amendment.
Question before the House is adoption of Amendment Number 1 to Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I believe the question is the adoption of the amendment to the amendment, the amendment being the finance CS.
Yes. Question before the House is the adoption of the amendment to the amendment. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, this is a sort of an unusual procedure. I know there were some amendments on the desk, and instead of offering an amendment in the normal fashion, the majority leader has chosen to offer an amendment to the CS offered by the Finance Committee. And I know that in the Finance Committee last night, there was an amendment offered by the chairman that was adopted by the committee that changed it from 81 to 80. And now the majority leader is moving it back from 81 to 80 by an amendment to the Finance Committee substitute. I'm just curious as to why it's going through that process instead of the normal amendment procedure that most of us usually follow.
Question before the House. Is the passage of the amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Meekins. Representative Meekins from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, one nay.
So the amendment has passed. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I believe the adoption of the CS is now before us.
The question before the House is the adoption of the committee substitute. Is there objection? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
So the committee substitute has been adopted. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Give it at ease, please.
House entities. Order, Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, Finance Amended House, be considered a gross advance to third reading placed on final passage.
Is there objection? There being no objection, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, Finances in third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third and final time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, Finance, amended by the House by the Finance Committee, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to limited increases in appropriation.
Is there debate? Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to say that this is probably as tough a spending limit as we could possibly imagine. If the people are calling for a constitutional spending limit, this bill certainly fills the bill, and it clearly brings the issue before them if they want to decide that that's the level that they wish to see the state spending.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not opposed to a spending limitation, especially on the operating budget that we've got. I think that thing has gotten out of control, and I think this bill would properly address it. On line 18, though, it says no appropriation. I might point out in excess of this limit may be made unless a state of emergency is declared. I might point out that Alaska is a developing state. We have many, many basic needs to bring us even into part of the mainstream of the rest of the nation. I don't think that we can just arbitrarily say we're not going to spend money for increased basic construction projects, etc. We've got roads. You've heard me stand on this floor before and talk about potholes and goat trails that we've got for highways. As I interpret this bill here, if we have an emergency thing, and that is what we're continually in, is in an emergency right now for the development of our state's economy. We've got oil money now, and that's what we're trying to save in a permanent fund. I have no disagreement with that. But I do disagree with the fact that we should put a tight limitation on what we need to use to develop our renewable resources in the future. I think that if we put too tight a restraint on our basic needs for capital projects, for example, I think we're going to rue the day when we try to make money with the money we're going to stick in the bank somewhere. I think that a lot of people, if they stop and think about it, we need to develop our renewable resources. The money that we're talking about here, about 90% of it is a non-renewable resource. Let's face it, if we don't develop our potential for renewable resources in the next few years, I think that the people, my grandkids and your kids, are going to look back and say, why didn't they build those roads? Why didn't they develop those renewable resources so we won't have the problems we've got today? I'm opposed to that portion of the bill. I'm for reduction of operating budgets, but I think that we should have some way of increasing the basic needs of our people out in the state. The pursuit of gold and gold in Alaska has changed to the pursuit of black gold. I mentioned black gold for two reasons. One is petroleum. Another is coal. Are we going to reduce our appropriations in the future to develop our coal industry? They tell me that we've got coal that will last for 2,000 years, and I'm sure that by the time we get rid of that coal, we should have some of our problems taken care of. But we have too many basic needs in this state to put a tight restraint on development, and that's exactly what we'll do if we do not put some sort of an amendment in this bill to allow us to develop our industries and our state's needs for renewable resources. I'm looking at agriculture, for example. That's a renewable resource. I hope that with the adoption of this restriction that will not again kill agriculture, which is the one of the major renewable resources we're working on now. I'm not going to belabor this point any longer, Mr. Speaker, but I have great difficulty in voting for the bill as a whole because I think we're making a mistake. We need to amend it. Thank you.
Representative Halpern.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I tend to agree with some of the statements of the former speaker, but I would just point out this is exactly the resolution that went through the committee system and was put out by the previous House leadership. And I think a vote against this resolution is a vote not to let the people decide whether they want a constitutional spending limit. And I think they have the right to decide, and I think we ought to vote it up and put it on the ballot, and they can decide just exactly what they want.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote against this legislation, and I do so understanding that there is a substantial amount of pressure in favor of it. But I just think it's a bad idea, and I'd like to take a few minutes to try to explain to you why I think it's a bad idea. You know, I heard a 90-second speech by the majority leader, the present majority leader, shortly after the election, that taught me an awful lot about my responsibilities here in the legislature. In that 90-minute speech, he said that the major challenge that this body was going to have before it was the ability to say no to bad ideas. We used to have the excuse of saying that those ideas may be okay, but that we didn't have the money. We could say no because we didn't have the money. And that's a great excuse, and we've all been able to use it. We don't have that excuse anymore, Mr. Speaker. And the majority leader and I agree on one thing, that we ought to be able to say no to bad ideas without having that other excuse. Mr. Speaker, that takes guts. And I would submit that to attempt to give to someone else to try to shuck off the responsibility to say no and give it to someone else is an abdication of our responsibility. We have the responsibility to say no here. And if we can't say no, I don't think we deserve to be here. Now, there are a couple other reasons I think it's a bad idea. I think Alaska can best be seen now in the early 1980s as a developing country. Think of the developing countries around the world. Largely rural areas, undeveloped, no sewer systems, no highways, no capital projects, people with inadequate medical care, people with inadequate educational facilities. Mr. Speaker, I think we're describing Alaska today as much as we could be describing any other developing country. Mr. Speaker, if we pass this legislation and the constitutional amendment is in fact adopted, we are not going to be able to do some of the things that are necessary to bring Alaska into the 20th century. We are not going to be able to build those roads. We are not going to be able to build those sewers. We're not going to be able to build a capital. We're not going to be able to build a new world-class fisheries center, for example. We're not going to be able to expand the funding of schools in this state. There are a lot of things we're not going to be able to do in the area of capital projects that I think are necessary to take Alaska and bring it up to date with the rest of the country and to give it the facilities and the projects that the rest of this United States has. And Mr. Speaker, there's a third reason I think that's the most compelling in my mind. I think experience has shown us that when there is a limited amount of money available for programs, that the first programs that get cut are the programs that assist people. I think there is a tendency in this body to forget the primary purpose, the first and most important purpose of government, and it is to help people who cannot help themselves. It is to help the poor, and the sick and the handicapped and the people who are victims of abuse and the people who are elderly and who want to stay in their own home and can't because there aren't sufficient programs for that. The purpose of government is to help the unemployed if there are no jobs for them. The purpose of government is to provide other resources and other projects for people who don't have any other resources. Now, there is a tendency, Mr. Speaker, in this legislature to provide programs for people who don't need them as badly as the people I'm describing. I am convinced, Mr. Speaker, after years of fighting for those programs, that if you adopt a constitutional amendment that limits spending, that it's those people that will get hurt first, the poor and the sick and the elderly and the infirm. I can list for you dozens of examples of that, Mr. Speaker, from the history of Alaska. I give you just one. In 1976, this legislature was a little short of money. It eliminated funding for the Aid to Families with Dependent Children program for unborn children and their mothers, a program that helped people who did not wish to have an abortion or to give up their child, but who were otherwise poor or unable to work because of that child, because of that pregnancy. We provided a program for them, Mr. Speaker, until 1976. When we ran out of money, when money got short, Mr. Speaker, that program went down the drain. We kept paying high salaries to state employees. We kept building things. We kept providing loans. But we took away money from poor women who were pregnant and had no other place to go. I think that's symbolic, Mr. Speaker, of what's going to happen if we allow this bill to pass and allow this constitutional amendment to go into effect. Mr. Speaker, the responsibility is here on this floor. If we don't have the guts to say no to bad programs, then we shouldn't be here.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just went back through the journal to see how this resolution came out of committees when it was in its prior form, House Joint Resolution Number 4. It came out of finance with DuPass recommendation, concurring Freeman, Moss, Adams, Carney, Haugen, Rogers, and Malone. It came out of judiciary, Brown, Miller, O'Connell, and Phillips. The only member that recommended do not pass was Representative Clarkson. Thank you.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In a couple response to individuals, we all want to have development, and two of the speakers who said they don't like this resolution talk about development. And any history book would tell you that the best development, the most efficient method, had been through free private enterprise. Now, this resolution in no way, shape, or form is going to stop private enterprise. And we are extremely unfortunate that there are hundreds of people in this state, thousands, millions across the nation, because they believe in private enterprise, hurdle over all the barriers mankind or some people around here could put in front of them. And by luck, they finally found a pot of oil. And now we find ourselves beyond riches that some dreamed 5 years ago. And now we're worried about saving a little bit of it. Why should the government have to spend so many millions on development of coal, on development of agriculture, on development of oil? Private enterprise would do it for nothing. And we still receive billions of dollars in revenues. Let's put some away. The gentleman was talking about his children and his grandchildren. The best future for that is to put it away and save it, make good investment, allow free enterprise to do the development.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the previous speakers, my minority colleague here from Anchorage, made some remarks about having some guts on this floor, and I'm going to display a little to the best of my ability right here. First, I want to tell the body that in my understanding, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, that this needs 27 votes in this House to pass to be effective. And I feel very strongly, I've stated before, I feel very strongly in the concept involved here. But if I didn't say it before, I'll say it now. If I did say it before, I'll say it once again. Because I feel so strongly about this idea, I will not accept a sham as a substitute for what we have before us. It's highly possible that there could be some amendments made, some changes made. Proper thing to do that from looking at the versions that I've seen going around the halls, there's going to have to be a free conference committee. And to me, it's extremely important the makeup of that committee be made up, Mr. Speaker, of people who are dedicated and sincerely and truly dedicated to the idea. I'm going to give notice when after the vote's taken on this for reconsideration. But at this time, to show that I'm really concerned, that I mean business, I'm requesting the members of the minority to vote no on the passage of this bill, resolution.
Is there further debate? The question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
22 yeas, 17 nays.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, Finance, has failed to pass the House. Representative Freeman?
Mr. Speaker, I give notice for reconsideration on my vote on joint resolution.
Representative Freeman has served notice reconsideration. This brings us to the end of today's calendar, down to unfinished business. Representative Cotton?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 615 be moved from the Resources Committee to the Judiciary Committee.
Jack?
Representative Cotton?
Mr. Speaker, this motion, of course, is similar to one that's been made by other members of this body. I've voted against it four times this year, I think. And finally, the bill was withdrawn that was originally introduced. And at that point, I felt that I didn't have any more restrictions or procedural problems with voting for an amendment to a bill that would have accomplished this same thing, or a compromise that could have been fashioned. But now it appears that a lot of things have changed around here, and we have an opportunity to go ahead and move on this legislation. I think yesterday, Mr. Speaker, you mentioned that in response to somebody's question as to how much longer could we expect to see House bills on the calendar, you said until next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I spoke with one of the members of the majority coalition this afternoon, and I was told by that individual that tomorrow would be the last day that we would see House bills or House resolutions on the floor. I don't know what the situation is on that, but I know that if we move this bill from resources to judiciary, that there would be an opportunity to see this bill on at least a supplemental calendar tomorrow. There's been some discussion, I've noticed some press reports, that a compromise is in the works, and that next fall sometime people will sit down and hammer out their differences. Well, the people that I've discussed this with over the session, the people that have been mad at me for not yanking this bill, are not interested in a compromise. People that I've talked to are still interested in a repeal of the subsistence law. They're not interested in further negotiations or compromise. The alternative, I suppose, is to go through the initiative process, and that means in the fall of 82, the people of Alaska would have a chance to vote on this, and then sometime later, I guess in 1983, new regulations could be implemented. If this legislature acts this year, I believe the initiative would be thwarted, would be set aside. That may not be the case, but I believe that to be true. And I believe that, in fact, that a simple repeal would be much better for the for this issue than the initiative that's been proposed. And I could go through all the arguments that were used by other members who not only are proponents of this legislation, but were proponents of removing the bill from the Special Committee on Subsistence when it laid there. Again, Mr. Speaker, I had hoped that I wouldn't have to do this. I'd hoped to simply add an amendment to a bill that would have accomplished the same thing, but I've not had even a yes or no answer from the people that are now in control of the flow of legislation. I felt that today would be probably the best opportunity to go ahead and make this motion, and I expect that I'll probably even get some further flack now that I'm voting for something that I was against the last time we had a chance to vote on it.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak on House Bill 615, the motion to remove it from Resources Committee to Judiciary. Former speaker did not state the title of that bill. I believe I can quote it by heart. It's an act repealing the subsistence law.
Representative Brown, you have Representative Barnes, you have the floor.
Thank you.
We all look alike.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe I owe it to the people of the state of Alaska and to the members of this body to know the full scenario that has led up to the point that we're at today. And I intend to lay it out for you at this time. I introduced the bill to repeal the subsistence law. I worked on that bill and in the Special Committee on Subsistence all session. You didn't, Mr. Cotton. Mr. Speaker, at each time the motion was made to pull that bill from committee, Mr. Cotton voted no. But he was taking a considerable amount of heat from the people he represents in Anchorage. He came to me and he was interested and working out a deal. I accepted that deal. The deal was that he would take a Senate title, a Senate bill, and he would move it down to rules, at which point that he had the necessary 4 votes, that he would bring it to the House floor, and we would repeal the subsistence law. Mr. Speaker, on a number of occasions, I talked with Mr. Cotton about this. And at one point, he wanted me to compromise a little further. He wanted me to just work on legislation that would take the Cook Inlet King Salmon out of the subsistence law. I refused. I said I will not discriminate against the rest of the people in the state of Alaska for a Cook Inlet King Salmon. As late as last Wednesday, Mr. Cotton came to me and he said he does not have the 4 votes. He does not expect to get the 4 votes. But he would like to bring Senate Bill 111 to the floor. And at that point in time, he proposed that I make an amendment to repeal the subsistence law, and he would vote for that amendment to protect his political backside. Now, Mr. Speaker, at that point in time,
state your point, Representative Rogers.
Is this on the motion to for the bill to move from Resources to Judiciary?
The representative asked for permission to speak on the bill, and I giving a little bit more latitude than normal. She did ask for specific privilege of speaking, and I don't see any problem with it.
Just a point of parliamentary inquiry, will you be extending that privilege to minority members as well?
I'll take it under consideration. Representative Barnes, you may continue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, Mr. Speaker, at that point in time, Mr. Cotton acknowledged, even though he was the powerful chairman of the House Finance Committee, that he could not get the 4 votes necessary. But it was necessary for me, a minority member, to help him protect his political backside.
as the days proceeded, and it was very, very clear that we could not repeal the subsistence law this session, a compromise was reached. The compromise being that the people of Alaska that are most concerned with this issue will come together in Anchorage in September and sit down and attempt to work out a solution that is just for all. I will continue to support the position that we will come together in September and sit down and work out that compromise. I believe it is fair. I believe this motion is only to protect one's political backside. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since we're talking about old times here, I think I'll just point out that the previous speaker and I did have several discussions about this. And there was
Representative Cotton, you may have the same latitude as Representative Barnes in your debate, if you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did discuss the possibility of finding the necessary votes to accomplish this, and it's true that we never did get 21 solid votes. Anytime we discussed it, there were a lot of maybes, and I don't see the problem here. I'm trying to expose the part of the price that the Republicans paid to enter into this coalition. They had to make a deal to drop subsistence. It was never my intention to do that. I did discuss some alternatives with the previous speaker, eliminating king salmon from the provisions of subsistence, because I thought that was one thing the people in Anchorage were most concerned about, the thing that they were able to see as a problem, as an immediate problem. I also considered the possibility of removing an area such as Cook Inlet from the provisions of the subsistence law. I don't think it applies there, and I've said that before on the floor of the House. And she's right, that didn't seem very acceptable, but I finally concluded that the best thing to do was to go ahead and vote and to repeal the law. I think we have an opportunity to do that. I still don't know how many votes are on this floor to do it, if we don't have to worry about the procedural question, which we worried about in our caucus. And it appears that the majority caucus has the same problem that the Democrats might have had. So I don't think there's any surprises here, except that now that those members who were pushing for the repeal are going to have to vote no.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that there is a difference and sitting down and working out a compromise that is acceptable to all the people in the state. That's not a sellout. But selling out in an organization saying no legislation will be passed is a sellout. We did not do that. We said we would sit down in September and work out an acceptable compromise. Unlike some people, when I give my word, I keep it. And I will keep it and urge the members of this body to vote no on this motion.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'm pretty certain that the previous representative didn't mean to imply that I broke my word. I'm sure she wouldn't do that. But I don't think that we have to wait until September. I think that the legislature has an opportunity to act now.
Question before Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak against the motion. Not easy to be a third party to what some people here call shenanigans on the floor, whoever proposes them, whenever they propose them. I tried to point out this morning that it's a difficult issue, and I will be surprised at some of the votes that will be cast here now. It was difficult before to maintain to a Democratic majority that the Democratic Party could take care of the issue. Mr. Speaker, even as a third party in this issue at the moment, my constituents would not allow that I sit and watch it. I urge to vote against the motion.
Question before the House. Shall House Bill 615 be removed from resources to its next committee of referral, which is judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
4 yeas, 35 nays.
So House Bill 615, the motion to move House Bill 615 from resources to judiciary is failed. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, are we under unfinished business?
We're under unfinished business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are a number of items in the limbo report, so if the members would go ahead and locate their limbo file, and I'll just take a brief at ease so you can see what the bills available are. I intend to move several of the non-controversial concurrences and free conferences to clear out that file a little bit. We have a brief at ease.
Without objection, the House stand at ease. House, please come to order. We're under unfinished business. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to do a last dying gasp here as the chairman of the House Gasoline Committee for an undetermined amount of time. I would like to waive referral of House Bill 454, which exempts communication facilities from the oil and gas property tax, from the referral to the House Gas Pipeline Financing Committee. It has a finance referral after that.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Halford, you have four limbo bills. It's my intention to deal with these four limbo bills hopefully quickly, and we need to recess so the finance chairman can hold his finance meeting, and I'm going to reconvene probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock, depending on 10 o'clock for the purpose of reading the bills across. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 168, finance amended.
Your reconsideration is noted. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first bill I'm going to take up out of the limbo file is CSHB 325. That's a bill dealing with orders under the Alaska Securities Act of 1959. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adopt the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 325, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill 325, Labor and Commerce, amended Senate, and ask the body to vote yes. And just to explain the change, it's on the first page of the bill, and it changes the he to the administrator, and it changes he considers it to it is considered. It's a very minor amendment.
Mr. Representative Halper, would you restate the motion as to concur? Would you repeat that?
My motion is that the House adopt the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 325, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill 325, Labor and Commerce, amended Senate, and ask the body to vote yes.
Is there a debate? The motion for the body before the body is the adoption of committee substitute for House Bill 325, Labor and Commerce, amended Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 325, Labor and Commerce, amended Senate, has been adopted. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill is Senate Bill 171. It's a conference committee, a free conference committee. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the free conference committee report for Senate Bill 171, thus adopting free conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 171, and recommend the body vote yes.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I urge the members to vote yes. This is all nearly the same as the House bill, with the exception that the senators insisted on removing the exemptions, or retaining, the exemptions from jury service for judges. But however, except for that, they've agreed to take what is virtually the House bill completely, except for that exception.
The question before the body, is there for the debate? The question before the body, shall the House recede from its amendments to... with the wrong bill in front of me. The question before the body is, shall the free conference committee... question before the body is, shall the free conference committee substitute for Senate Bill number 171 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
31 yeas, 3 nays.
So the free conference committee substitute for Senate Bill number 171 has been adopted. Representative Halford is...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there an effective date on that, Representative Halford?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, there is. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on passage of free conference committee substitute be considered the vote on the effective date clause on free conference committee report for Senate Bill 171.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so moved. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The next bill in the limbo file before us is the committee substitute House Joint Resolution 32 Judiciary. And Mr. Speaker, the changes are very simple. They changed the word qualifications for conduct, and that's, I believe, the only change. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendment to committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 32 Judiciary Amended, thus adopting committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 32 Judiciary Amended Senate, and recommend the body vote yes.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. The Senate basically had a good idea that we should have had, and that is that since we have in the last 5 years charged the Judicial Council with making recommendations to the public regarding retention of judges, and supposedly that's the area of judicial qualifications, and that the actual activity of this commission does relate to questions of conduct of judges rather than their qualifications, that it is a very good idea to change the name of the Judicial Qualifications Commission to one on judicial conduct. So it's hard to ever have to admit that the Senate had a good idea, but I support the motion.
Is there further debate? Question for the body. So shall the House concur, thus adopting committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 32, Judiciary Amended Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
So So committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 32, Judiciary Amended Senate has passed the House. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The next bill in limbo file I've got for concurrence is House Bill 485. This is a bill dealing with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. The House bill was passed with an extension of the board to 82. Apparently, the Senate extended it to 83, and the conference committee, the Senate amended, extended it to 84, and the conference committee agreed on halfway in between at 83. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the conference committee report on House Bill 485, thus adopting House Bill 485, amended conference committee, and recommend the body vote yes.
There's a debate. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't quite understand why we should pass a bill. I mean, the sunset process either works or it doesn't. Here we're saying we're going to continue it for two more years before it goes through the sunset process. If it works, it ought to be continued longer. If it doesn't, it ought to be eliminated.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just remind the prior speaker that the House did pass a bill extending it to June 30th, 82.
Representative Rogers.
I'd remind that speaker that I voted against that one as well.
Is there further debate? Question before the body, shall the House adopt House Bill number 485, amended by the conference committee? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
30 yeas, 4 nays.
So the House has adopted House Bill 485, amended by the Conference Committee. Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the acceptance of House Bill 485, amended Conference Committee, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Halford.
That's all I was going to go through right now. Quick brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Order. We're still under unfinished business, and as I advised the body this morning, it is my intention to certify the journals. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the chief clerk for the following days. The 151st day, 152nd day is corrected. 153rd day, 154th day, 155th day, 156th day, 157th day is corrected, 158th day as corrected, and House Journal Supplement numbers 57, 58, and 59.
There is objection, Representative Brown.
Speaker, just for the record, is it my understanding that the correction for the 152nd day is only the correction that was a clerical one made by the clerk and not a correction made by anyone else?
Do we have an ease?
Yes. Before we have an ease, I will ask the clerk to read the corrections. Representative Meekins, you want an ease?
That would be fine.
I'll stand at ease. Crawford?
Mr. Speaker, since there is objection, I'll withdraw the motion.
Motion is withdrawn. Unless there is further unfinished business to come before the House, I'm going to...
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Byrne.
Just one brief item under unfinished business, if I may. The Chairman of Finance has asked that Senate Bill number 365 be moved from the HES Committee over to the Finance Committee, and that's agreeable with the members of the HES Committee. The actual It deals with special education, and I've polled all the members of the Hess Committee who are in agreement with the waiver, and I've also noted that we did pass the identical bill, House Bill Number 449, from Hess earlier this year, and but it would expedite, it appears, the closing of the session by moving this bill, and therefore I would ask that its reference to Hess Committee be waived and it be moved to Finance Committee.
Is there objection? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have objection to this waiver. There were hearings on that bill. Just a slight correction of the former speaker. It isn't the identical bill. There are some minor changes, but I don't think it changes the intent of the committee to have a hearing on an earlier House bill.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, for the record, it's committee substitute for Senate Bill 365, Finance.
Is the objection still maintained? Hearing none, the bill is, the motion is adopted. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, can we have a very brief please?
House Standing.
10 o'clock.
We're under unfinished business. If there's no further unfinished business, I'd like to move down to announcements of committee meetings, and then I'd entertain a recess motion. Representative Meekins.
Under announcements,
Representative Meekins.
The Free Conference Committee on SB 148 was scheduled to meet tonight at 7, but we've rescheduled that for tomorrow at 12:30, hopefully, to finish the loans bill.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements, I'd like to announce a Rule Committee meeting for Saturday, June 20th at 7:30 in the morning, room 118, and the agenda is committee substitute for Senate Bill 50 relating to unemployment insurance, House Committee substitute for committee substitute Senate Bill 244 Finance, redesignating certain loans authorized by the Alaska Power Authority as grants, committee substitute for Senate substitute Senate Bill 555, continuing the existence of the Guide Licensing and Control Board, and Senate Joint Resolution 22 relating to proposed regulations the Department of Interior adopted under the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act.
Representative Adams.
Finance meeting in 5 minutes. I read the agenda earlier today, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning at 8:30, there'll be a Democratic caucus in the State Affairs Conference Room.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be a Majority Coalition Caucus tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Representative Halford. I would like a motion to recess until 10 o'clock a.m. It will not be necessary, 10 o'clock p.m. this evening, will not be necessary for anyone to return to the chambers except myself, Representative Halford, and Representative Brown for the purpose of reading in committee reports. Representative Chuckwuck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I realize we're pressed for time. However, I'd like to request a special order at this time.
Representative Chuckwuck, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on the coalition at this time.
You have the floor, Representative Chuckwuck.
Last few days, all of us realize and have seen in papers, newspapers, and over the radio stations, criticizing the activity that took place here in the last few days. But my position is that I hope something good will result out of this. And it was reflected tonight, the first time in my political career that we ever had a vote on the subsistence issue, where 35 people voted against the repeal of the subsistence. And before that, it was always on the party lines. And so with this coalition, perhaps something good will come out of, which I'm hoping. During my campaign, I've always maintained a position to try and maintain a good, strong sense of justice. I'm sure all of you realize that I am a native. But, Mr. Speaker, another thing I appreciate is the former party that did not react in an irrational manner. And that was reflected on the effective dates, unlike what's taken place last 150 days or so. Mr. Speaker, I wish that we will continue to maintain this irrational activity on the floor. As we all realize, last few years, throughout the state of Alaska, people have been dividing among themselves on a lot of controversial issues, divisive issues. I think this is a step towards alleviating what has taken place over in Ireland, where Christians and Catholics are killing each other. And once again, I am pleading that something good will come out of this coalition.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 10 p.m. tonight. And, Mr. Speaker, before you move on that, did you announce that there's a session tomorrow at 10 o'clock?
There will be a session tomorrow at 10 o'clock in accord with the uniform rules.
Okay.
Representative Brown.
Just before we recess, the rules chairman is off the floor. Do we know when we will have a chance to see the calendar for tomorrow morning? Or
shortly, I think the calendar will be prepared as soon as we recess, so that the clerk can have an opportunity to get the bill.
So we would be able to have it for the Democratic Caucus 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Yes, they should be available late tonight or early enough in the morning for your caucus.
If possible, we'd like it tonight.
Yes, and I don't think it'll be a very long calendar, Representative Brown. The motion before the body is a recess until 10 o'clock p.m. Without objection, House stands in recess. House, please come to order. For the record, Representative Halford, the Majority Leader, Representative Brown, the Minority Leader, Representative Hayes, the Speaker, Sergeant-at-Arms, the Clerk, and Assistant Clerk are in the chambers. Without objection, I'd like to move down the daily order of business to reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 37 effective date added relating to international airport revenue bonds under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Montgomery, Fuller, Chuckwack, Hurlburt, Cuddy, Cotton, Bettesworth, and Haugen. Senate Bill 37 has no further referral. The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 164, a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for completion of the analysis of certain geochemical samples, under consideration, recommends it do pass, and a letter of intent will be forthcoming. A report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Fuller, Montgomery, Chuckwack, Hurlburt, Cuddy, Bettesworth, and Haugen. Cotton has no recommendation. Senate Bill 164 has no further referral. The Committee on Finances had committee substitute for Senate Bill 222, Transportation, making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for engineering and design of bridges and roads in the Nenana Agricultural Area, under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Fuller, Hurlburt, Cotton, Bettesworth, and Haugen. No recommendation. Chuckwack and Montgomery do not pass. Cuddy. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 222 has no further referral. The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 242, establishing the Alaska Student Leadership Development Fund under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Fuller, Chukwa, Curl, Burton, Cotton. Do not pass, Cuddy. No recommendation, Bettesworth, Haugen, and Montgomery. Senate Bill 242 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 243, Appropriation to the Department of Education for the Alaska Student Leadership Development Fund under consideration, reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, do pass, Adams, Fuller, Chukwuk, Hurlburt, and Cotton. Do not pass, Cuddy. No recommendation, Bettesworth, Haugen, and Montgomery. Senate Bill 243 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 343, Source of the Appropriation for Improvements to the Fairbanks International Airport under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Montgomery, Fuller, Chukwuk, Hurlburt, Bettesworth, Haugen, and Cotton. Cuddy has no recommendation. Senate Bill 343 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 24, extending the life of the Rural Education Attendance Area Budget Oversight Committee under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Fuller, Chukwuk, Hurlburt, Cotton, Haugen, and Montgomery. No recommendation, Cuddy and Bettesworth. House Concurrent Resolution 24 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 351, Finance amended, donations of personal leave under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 351, Finance, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Fuller, Chukwuk, Hurlburt, Cuddy, Bettesworth, Haugen, and Montgomery. Signing do not pass, Cotton. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 351, Finance, has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 121, requiring annual adjustments under the teachers and public employees' retirement systems under consideration, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 121, Finance, and reports it back with individual recommendations and a fiscal note. Report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing no recommendation, Chukwuk, Hurlburt, Cuddy, Cotton, Bettesworth, and Haugen. Signing do pass, Adams, Fuller, and Montgomery. House Bill 121 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Halford, House stand at ease.
Committee subs. Oh, excuse me.
House come back to order. We were under reports of standing committees. Would the clerk please read reports?
The Committee on Rules has had House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 5, State Affairs, Effectiveness of Administrative Regulations under consideration, recommends it be replaced with the House Committee Substitute by the Rules Committee and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Fuller, Smith, Phillips, O'Connell, Randolph, and Hayes. House Committee Substitute for, no. Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 5, has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17, Finance amended, Executive Budget Act to State Agency Programs under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Montgomery, Adams, Fuller, Chukwuk, Hurlburt, Cuddy, Bettesworth, and Haugen. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 603, relating to relocation of the state capital under consideration and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 603, Finance, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Montgomery, Adams, Fuller, and Chukwuk, and Cuddy. Signing no recommendation, Hurlburt, Cotton, Bettesworth, and Haugen. House Bill 603 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee
without
reports.
Without objection, I'll move down the daily order of business. Unfinished business. Is there unfinished business before come before the House? If not, Representative Halford, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Is there objection? Without objection, the House is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.